The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
This series has been so good. Diana Taurasi and the Mercury winning an overtime thriller Wednesday night, evening the WNBA Finals at a game apiece. We'll have the pivotal Game 3 tonight, 9 Eastern, on ESPN2 and on the ESPN app. One app, one tap. Fun we've had working here this morning, and delighted you've chosen to get up with us. The crew here talking football. Ryan Clark is with us as well. Buster Olney jumps in on the baseball in just a moment as we are live, as always, from above the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17. And here we go for hour number two. It is time to get up with Tampa Tom, holding on for dear life late last night with the thumb costing his grip at the finish in Philly. Then how about them Cowboys? Are Dak and Dallas on upset alert against the Belichicks this weekend in New England? And, oh, the drama in San Francisco. An entire season comes down to one swing. Or was it? Buster jumps in on that as we get up with you starting right now. With the football action, the start of week 6 in Philadelphia last night. The quarterbacks, as always, in the spotlight. Tom Brady on one side and Jalen Hurts making his 10th career start. Opening drive, second and goal. Sacho, it's Brady who strikes first to O.J. Howard.
Yeah, Brady looks great. Even with the thumb injury, he played an outstanding game yesterday.
Couldn't even see it really there. Bucs take an early 7-0 lead, but Ninko, Eagles the answer. Hurts to Ertz.
Hey, Hurts, easy. Easiest throw in football, right to the flat, touchdown.
5-yard score, so we're tied at 7. Next drive, less than a minute left. Watch Brady Sacho here just creating time for himself.
Yeah, creating time, moving in the pocket, and then throwing a dime, a dart. Perfect pass, and Antonio Brown continuing to make plays for that team.
Bucks up 14-7. Brown had some big catches last night. Second quarter, same score. Jalen Hurts doing everything for this team, but in this case, Nick, it's a throw he would probably like back.
Yeah, pregame song in his ears. I'm thinking living on a prayer because he just threw that one up, and that didn't turn out well. 14-7 game, you can't turn over the ball like that.
It's Jamel Dean who comes with a pick right there on Hurts, and to your point, you know Brady is going to make you pay. Next drive, first and goal. Leonard Fournette, he's been rejuvenated in Tampa. So it's 21-7, Bucs at the half. And then in the third quarter, same score. And Sacho, it's Fournette again.
Yeah, talk about rejuvenated. People talk about this Bruce Arians offense and Byron Leftwich. They love to run the ball. Yes, pass, all that's great. But running the ball is what they do.
Oh, and then they celebrate on the sideline. Look at Vita Vea showing off the moves. Then next drive, 4th and 3. Jalen Hurts not giving up, taking it in himself. This again on a 4th down, so it's a big play. So the Eagles are staying alive. And in the stands, Mike Trout, noted Eagle fan, is taking it all in. Then the Bucks turn it over on downs, and here we go. Ninko, it's Hurts taking it again, his 2nd score of the game.
I love it. Take me back to high school, the QB option.
Hey, they would go for the 2 and get it, so it's 28-22. Then here's the big moment. Bucks are trying to run out the clock. This is Fournette on the sideline. They're going to throw a 15-yard taunting flag on Jannard Avery right there. We'll show it to you again. Ninko, what do you think of the call?
Terrible call. Absolutely terrible call. I can't believe they threw a flag on that. What is this? Put flags on them to play flag football.
I mean, Sacho, you can see he kind of turns and asks for it. We'll talk more about it in a moment. Meanwhile, that would lead to this. 3rd and 7. They're trying to run the clock out. Look at that throw from Brady. It's just a dart for Antonio Brown. That's 27 yards. Brady would throw for 297 and 2 scores in the Bucs. Hold on to win it by a score of 28-22. So I don't want to spend a lot of time on the taunting penalty, but I do feel we need to get the thoughts of it here for everybody just joining us. Ryan Clark, you saw the flag. What do you think of the call?
I think it's a trash call. I think it's one of those calls that changes the game for a very minor and minuscule infraction. I mean, these dudes have worked all of their lives and obviously the entire week to make huge plays. And when you go sideline to sideline and you make a tackle and a dude turns around and bumps into you as you're staring at him, you should be able to say something. You should be able to be excited. You should be able to stand your ground. And for that to be a call that changes a game, let's remember, 6 points away, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers have a drive going. You get 15 yards. You eventually get into the red zone, into the 2-minute, and are able to ice the game. This call changed the game for people just being human. If you want to stop fighting, then kick out people that throw punches, not people that stare and say words.
And again, we had a lengthy discussion about this earlier, and Sacha, your perspective was it's the rule, you have to deal with it. But how about the time and place when they call it? We were just talking off the air, and Ninko said, in that situation, on that drive at the end of the game, don't throw that flag. What do you think?
Yeah, well, the time and place is unfortunate. That's facts. But also, the call is also unfortunate, but it is the call, and it is the rule. And so what needs to happen, we can talk about it in the media. Oh, it's a horrible call, trash call, all those things. And we're actually right. But when it comes to enforcing the call, players and coaches have to make adjustments. And the adjustment is you can't get up and look at a dude. As much as we hate it, that's the adjustment that we got to make if you're on a team in the NFL. So coaches, I know we don't like it, yeah. But I'm just saying, I'm trying to save us 15 yards if I'm on that team.
Of course, you're not wrong, but I understand why Ryan Clark is doing that. Go ahead, RC.
And this, you know I like to mess with all of our guys and all my colleagues, but this is not even about Acho. Like, I hear what Acho is saying, but the adjustment can also be a little bit of common sense, right? We definitely want to get this taunting out the game if that's something that you feel like is important. But in that situation, do you think if a call isn't made that somebody on Tampa Bay's sideline is going to think that that lost them the game? Referees have to understand time, place, and impact.
There was literally zero chance that was about to turn into a fight either, yeah, right? I mean, no chance. If they had just walked their separate ways, that wouldn't have turned into a fight. I don't want to spend the entire time here talking about this because I have Buster rating, and I want to get to the really more important part of this, which is the observation that you made in our meeting this morning, Dan Graziano, about Tom Brady. We can all see how well he's playing, but you were taking it much further than that.
I'm wondering if Tom Brady is the greatest free agent signing of all time. When you consider the impact he's had, look, I mean, how he's playing, yeah. Mm-hmm. It's Thursday night. Nobody plays well on Thursday night. He's got a bad thumb. He goes out there and has that game. So it's ridiculous what he can do as a football player. But what he's done for that organization since he walked in the door in terms of elevating your own opinion of yourself as a player, as a coach, having the front office bring in guys like Leonard Fournette and Antonio Brown, that things had gone poorly for them in their previous stops and are going so well for them here. The transformation is complete, and he's the reason for it.
Now, the impact that he's had on the field is easy for all of us to see, but Ninko, you've lived the experience of the impact he has behind the scenes. How does he do this?
His consistency, and every single person on that team's career has benefited from Tom Brady. The head coach, the offensive coordinator, even the defense has benefited. Mm-hmm. Before Tom got there was 30 interceptions thrown. Guess what? You're on the bench, yeah, Sitting there drinking some water. You take, oh, man, another sudden change. Where's my helmet? Mm-hmm. I got to get back out there. Now Tom Brady's a quarterback. He's taking care of the football. Everybody's benefited.
And he's doing it, and Graz, you touched on it, but RC, he's doing it with guys nobody wanted. I mean, Rob Gronkowski was completely retired. Leonard Fournette, they gave him away. Antonio Brown didn't have a place in the league. I didn't think he'd ever play again. He's doing it with guys that nobody wanted.
Well, I think it's nobody wanted. I think people wanted Gronk, and he just retired because he didn't want Bill Belichick. It's not about nobody. We never thought people didn't want Antonio Brown because he couldn't play. Before Leonard Fournette came to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, he had over 1,000 yards, and he had almost 80 catches. So these dudes could play. It's that they wanted to play with Tom Brady. And here's the other thing that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers got lucky doing. It's sometimes you sign one of the greatest players that's ever played. Tom Brady is the greatest of all time. But they're not still playing at that level. Tom Brady's playing at an MVP level. We can look back at the end of this year, and we may say other than 2007, it's the best year he's ever had. So think about signing a dude that had two decades of the most storied NFL career that's actually playing at the highest level he ever has at the age of 44. That's not just dumb luck. That's Tom Brady.
Yeah, it's the humility for me, RC. Like, that's what stands out for me. The humility that Tom Brady has when he steps into a building. He brings everyone around him, and there's no egos, right? No logos, no egos. So that's why a guy like AB can come in, humble himself, and just play. Leonard Fournette, come in, humble himself. Sherm came in there. No logos, no egos. That's what stands out for me and why Tom Brady is so great.
All right, the Buccaneers kick off this weekend with a win. We'll have much more NFL action as we go. But that was only one of two monster games on the schedule last night. To the baseball, we go next. It was win or go home. Game 5 at the Oracle last night, Dodgers and Giants, and here we go. In the 6th inning, we are scoreless, and Mookie Betts comes to the plate. They couldn't handle him all night long. Logan Webb so good throughout this series, but in this case, Betts getting the best of it. He was 4-for-4 last night, and Betts on base is always a dangerous situation. Corey Seager up next And here is Betts taking off, showing you the wheels and stealing second. So we got a runner in scoring position for LA, and Seager would take care of it right there. Slaps that one to left. Betts scores easily. Seager with a double. Dodgers up by a 1-0 score. So bottom of the inning, Darren Ruff now with the Giants in their season, hanging in the balance, facing Julio Urias. And you got Ruff. Bam. Straightaway center field, 452 feet. We're all tied at one, and look at the celebration in the stands. This one means everything to everyone. One of the biggest games of all time. To the ninth we go. Cody Bellinger at the plate with runners at first and second. He's had a very up and down season, but he had two big moments in this series, that none bigger than that one. Justin Turner would score. Bellinger coming through in the clutch. So the Dodgers with a one-run lead going to the ninth, and they hand the ball to Max Scherzer, looking for his first career save. A runner at first, one out. Lamont Wade Jr. looking. Now there's two outs. So the season comes down to Wilmer Flores. It's 0-2 to Flores. So the Dodgers are a strike away. And there's the strike. Called on the check swing. That's how the season ends in San Francisco. You look at it a million times. It's not reviewable. They can't believe it at home. Scherzer doesn't want to hear it one way or the other. The celebration is on in every way. The Dodgers advance.
There's no need to, you know, be angry about that. I just think it's just a disappointing way to end. There are other reasons we didn't win today's baseball game. So that was just the last call of the game. And yeah, that's enough.
I think it's just step one to our final goal. You know, we can be happy, you know, right now, but you know, I'm of the mindset you got to turn the page and get ready for the next series, and you can't celebrate until you hold up that World Series trophy.
Yeah, I'm with Mookie on that, except we can party hard tonight.
No one was more excited than he was. Here's Robert Stanberry, only the third. Buster, before we get to anything else, I have to ask you about the check swing. When we did the highlight here the first time, all the football players on my set groaned audibly. What did you think of the call?
It was absolutely a terrible call. There's no getting around that. Look, it's a subjective call typically, but that one, there's no question. He didn't swing. As you pointed out, it's not reviewable. And going forward, I don't think they could actually write a rule where they could describe exactly what a check swing is. So I don't think there's going to be a change. It's just something history is going to have to live with.
Fair enough. And Gabe Kapler, I thought that was the right way to put it. There were a million moments in that game last night. That's just the last one. So what is your biggest takeaway from what was an epic series and in the bigger picture, the Dodgers beating the Giants here?
Yeah, Cody Bellinger breaking through with that hit that decided this series. Because you think about his struggles. During the regular season against the Giants, 2-for-48, an .042 batting average. The worst batting average by any player against the Giants in any regular season. And yet in that plate appearance, fighting through to get that hit, fighting off that slider, making the adjustment by choking up on the bat, and driving the ball through the infield after so many postseason struggles, a great moment for Cody.
All right, I want to get a few more things in here quickly. Jess Mendoza was on the show yesterday saying, we needed this series to be 7 games, and based upon where it falls, it was not. Do you think that they will look at that in any way in the future?
I think they will look at it, but within the context of a larger restructuring of the playoffs moving forward, I think it's going to be expanded dramatically next year, perhaps up to 14 teams.
All right, and then quickly, we now have 4 teams left. NLCS, we got the Dodgers and the Braves. Who do we like?
I need to put a disclaimer in. All my picks have been absolutely wrong, which is why you're Braves fans. You should be very afraid. I've got Atlanta winning over the Dodgers, the hottest team in the National League, 40-20 since the trade deadline. This team right now, red hot. They'll be at home, and they've been able to put their pitching in place for this series.
And the other side, Astros, Red Sox?
I got the Red Sox beating the Astros because of Alex Cora and how great he is as a postseason manager. 15-4, he clearly is able to engender a lot of confidence from his players. They're playing great. And look, the Lance McCullers Jr. injury, I think, evens out the pitching between these two teams. I think Boston wins.
Is Robert Stanberry, only the third. Our buddy Buster, thank you, Bus. Back to the football we'll go in just a moment. Coming up, Dak and the Cowboys are rolling. but we'll tell you why they should be on upset alert against Belichick and the Patriots this weekend. Plus, are the Eagles asking too much of Jalen Hurts? Are they setting him up to fail in Philly? We're talking about it as we get up with you on ESPN. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. We are back on Get Up. Let's play a game called What's Your Number? Ninko, how many touchdown passes will Patrick Mahomes throw against Washington this weekend?
4. I'm going with 4. That's a big number. Yes, I know. You know why? Why did I go with 4? Because it's Patrick Mahomes, and they have to throw 4 touchdowns. They have to go out there and just throw bombs over Washington.
And the Washington defense has been so disappointing. Acho, I come to you next. How many sacks will Aaron Donald have against the Giants?
I'm going with 1. A surprise low pick, but not that much of a surprise if you look at the season. Aaron Donald only has 3 sacks on the season, 1 every other game. The Giants, on the other hand, haven't given up a sack in the last 2 weeks. And so I'm hoping that they stick with that game plan and double, even triple team Aaron Donald because he's that good, and make sure you keep your quarterback clean.
All right, and then one more, and it brings us to our DraftKings poll question today. And the question is, will Dak Prescott throw for 250 or more yards against the Patriots? And we'll remind you that DraftKings is the official daily fantasy partner of the NFL. This Sunday only, new players can play free for over $1 million in total prizes when you make your first deposit. Download the DraftKings app and sign up with the code GETUP. So, RC, the question is to you. What's your number? How many passing yards for Dak against the Patriots?
We're going to go with 260 yards because we're going to run the football if we're the Dallas Cowboys, and we're going to play good defense. I think we'll turn over Mac Jones the same way the Houston Texans did. And so Dak doesn't have to go out here and go crazy. He just has to win the football game. 260 yards, about 3 touchdowns, and an easy win for the Dallas Cowboys.
Well, let's dive into it. Easy win, says RC. Let's see if everybody agrees, because the Cowboys obviously have been playing great. The Patriots have had something of an up-and-down season. In some ways, you could argue their most impressive game this year was the one they lost against Brady and the Bucs that night. Their 2 wins coming against the Jets and the Texans. So, Ninko, Cowboys are 3-point favorite in this game. Who do you like in Foxborough?
Listen, it's going to be a tough battle, but I like the Cowboys because of their front, and I think their ability to run the football is going to be the difference in this matchup. The Patriots have to control the line of scrimmage with their front 7. If they're not able to do that, it's going to be a long day. We know the Cowboys can run the football. They have 2 running backs that are on pace to run for over 1,000 yards. That is going to be trouble if they can't stop the run.
Did you know they actually have 2 running backs and 2 receivers who are on pace to go over 1,000 yards?
Interesting.
In the yardage. And their offense has just been unbelievably good. Sacha, who do you like?
Yeah, I like the Patriots because I think they're going to be able to stop that running attack for the Dallas Cowboys. Bill Belichick is a defensive mastermind. He stops people's best offensive weapons. And so for that reason, I think the Patriots are going to win this game. But I think it's going to be a close game. Yes, probably a 3-point game, maybe a touchdown game, 6 points. But the Patriots will find a way to win this game. I love the Cowboys. I'm high on the Cowboys. I think they're going to be great, and they are great. But for whatever reason, sometimes you walk into these games, you come off of a winning streak, you walk into New England, and it doesn't go good for you.
I'll repeat, Dallas, a 3-point favorite on the road to the pick there. RC, what do you think?
I'm truly trying to figure out, is it really Freaky Friday? Has someone switched the brain of Ninko and Sacho? We got Ninko picking the Cowboys and Sacho picking the Patriots. Man, that must be that Red River rivalry hangover that Sacho has, because we all know the Dallas Cowboys are going to win this game. The Dallas Cowboys are playing at such an extremely high level offensively. They can beat you any way that they need to. Kellen Moore is diagramming 2 or 3 plays a week that get you wide open passes, wide open opportunities, open lanes to run through, and a defense that is turning the football over and now rushing the passer as well, playing with speed. I think the Dallas Cowboys win this game and once again prove that they're a team that is ascending as they go throughout the season.
Grass, who you like? I like the Cowboys. I think they're the better team. I think New England's still putting itself together. Cowboys do have a couple little things to watch, right? I mean, Ezekiel Elliott's been limited in practice. That wasn't a factor last week. I noted Tyron Smith popping up, the left tackle, on the injury report yesterday as limited with a neck issue. The neck has been an issue for him in the past. It cost him pretty much all of last season. We'll see if he's out there today. If not, and there's some concern, that's a pretty important player for
them. It is. They've actually had players in and out on that offensive line all year long, and the fact that they've done that and still been as consistent as they have has been quite impressive. Okay, in the meantime, I just want to show you this. In case you didn't see it, Myles Garrett getting into the Halloween spirit with unique decorations on his front lawn. I want to make it clear, those gravestones include one for Lamar Jackson, Justin Fields, Big Ben, and his next opponent, Kyler Murray. What do you think of this, Nico?
I love it. I'd love to go trick-or-treating at that house. Looks like they're handing out the full Snickers, not like the little one, the actual full size yes, Snicker bar.
Yes, there's full nothing size. Better. There's nothing, especially as a defensive end, they're hunting the quarterback, there is nothing better. I love it. Love to see it.
As someone who goes overboard for Halloween, I'm more impressed by that 12-foot skeleton, which is the one the Home Depot's got. You can't get. It goes out of stock right away. We've been trying for weeks. I want to know how Myles Garrett pulled it off.
That is, maybe he knows a guy. That's a really big guy. RC, final word.
Hey, this is what you can do when you've been hunting the quarterback the way that Myles Garrett has done all year, and who's going to tell him that he shouldn't do this? So if I'm a kid in the neighborhood, I'm going to Myles Garrett's house because we know he got all the good candy. Because anybody that does all that, better.
I can tell you who can tell him he shouldn't. I notice he doesn't have a gravestone with Rashawn Slater's number up there. That's for sure. Because Rashawn Slater, the rookie left tackle for the Los Angeles Chargers,
he definitely
went
played
one-on-one
great.
With Myles Garrett and everybody else. But don't forget it. Rashawn Slater from?
Where did he go to school?
Northwestern. Yeah. That's exactly right. And he's the rookie of the year. All right. Coming up, are the Eagles asking too much of Jalen Hurts? Are they setting him up to fail in Philly? We will get to that coming up next. And Van Gruden, of course, gone. Is the damage done in Vegas? Can they somehow rally and make the playoffs? We'll go inside that locker room as we continue. It's Get Up on ESPN.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each one-ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
I'm Malika Andrews, and NBA Today will be live from Los Angeles beginning October 18th.
That's good.
I'm already thinking about how can I do it again.
Just go with it. Just go with it.
NBA Today is your new home for the NBA on ESPN.
Back on Get Up, and if you were just joining us, it was Brady and the Bucks on the road against the Eagles last night. And Brady, bad thumb. What bad thumb? He looked awful comfortable. This was the opening drive of the game, second and goal. That's O.J. Howard's first touchdown of the season. Bucks take the early 7-0 lead. Now it's 7-7 late in the first, and the Bucks are inside the scoring area. And Antonio Brown, watch Brady here, just making himself comfortable. He doesn't run, but he manipulates the pocket so well. That's A.B. who takes it in for the score. Bucks up 14-7. Third quarter, it's 21-7. Leonard Fournette had a short touchdown run, and here comes his second short touchdown run of the day to the delight of the side. Oh, look at Vita Vea getting into it there. Bucks up 28-7. Fourth quarter, Eagles had made this a game. Third and 7. Brady looking to ice this. Again, finding ways to make time and move around the pockets. A 27-yard pass to Antonio Brown. Bucks run out the clock, and they win it. Brady throws for 297 and 2 touchdowns. On the other side, Jalen Hurts had some highs and some lows last night, completed less than 50% of his passes. 29% of them were off target, but he did add a pair of scores on the ground. for the second consecutive game. And we haven't spent a lot of time on him this morning, so I wanted to set aside a moment and do that here with RC and Dan Graziano. And let's just start with, they're asking so much of a player, Ryan Clark, who made his 10th career start last night. I think sometimes we forget that. But he's barely played half a season's worth of football, and they are putting everything on him. Do you – what are you seeing? I mean, I guess if we're going to make this a referendum on it, what are you seeing
from
him?
You're asking – yeah. I think you're asking too much of Jalen Hurts. And even when we think about what we see in Chicago, what Bill Lazor is now doing with Justin Fields, using him to his strengths, running the football, when you look at what Miles Sanders was able to do with the very few touches he had last night against Tampa Bay, he was able to run the ball extremely well, explosive even in those 9 carries that they had offensively. And so when you look at this team, which you're asking Jalen Hurts to carry 80% of the offense, and it's not like he has veterans on the outside or these great route runners that understands the defenses that they've seen in the NFL year after year, whether it's Quez Watkins, whether it's Devontae, whether we're going to talk about Jalen Reagor. All of these guys on this team are young along with Jalen Hurts, yet we're asking him to carry this team on his back, RPO after RPO, deep shot after deep shot, no run game to lead to the play action. I don't think Nick Sirianni and the Philadelphia Eagles are doing him any favors, but here's my problem with that. My problem is that they'll say, we gave you an entire year to start. We gave you all of these opportunities to be the man, to pile up statistics, and to win football games, and you could not. And since you could not, it's time for us and our 3 first-round picks to move on to a new quarterback. My fear is you play him, you overuse him, you ruin him, and you move on from it.
Maybe setting it up to fail. And to that point, they do project to have 3 potentially reasonably high first-round draft picks, and there's a lot they could do with those.
Right. They have Miami's pick, and they'll have the Colts pick, which is the first-rounder if Carson Wentz plays 75% of the Colts snaps. And right now, yeah, they all project to be top 10 picks. So they could draft somebody. They could probably move up to the top of the draft if they wanted. Or they could make a deal for somebody who might be available next offseason. And that could be a very interesting group of guys that could include Aaron Rodgers, could include Russell Wilson, could include Deshaun Watson. So the Eagles are going to be in position to do whatever they want at quarterback. And RC, you're right. I mean, you actually, it's 85% of the offense that he's accounted for so far.
Crazy.
This year. I mean, it's not, 9 running backs carries last night. They're only averaging 12 a game. They got to figure something
out. It's the fewest in the league, right?
Oh,
they
yeah,
run the football with their backs less than any team in the league. They don't run it less than other teams because he is running.
Right.
So they're putting everything on this young quarterback who, again, last night started his 10th game. We'll see where it all goes in Philly. In the meantime, let's get to what's going on in Las Vegas. And obviously the season came to an extraordinary turning point. They started fast, a 3-0, but that seems like a very long time ago after John Gruden resigns this week, and you're well aware of that story. So then Las Vegas, meantime, has lost each of its last 2 games, both by double digits. The offense has really struggled. Last week, they were held to 9 points at home against the Bears, and their season does continue here. Up next, a key divisional game against another 3-2 team in the Broncos. FPI viewing the Raiders as an underdog, giving Las Vegas just a 37% chance to win. And I am one who sometimes feels the term distraction is overused when it comes to football, but I can't imagine that too many teams in the history of any sport have ever gone through a week like the one the Raiders have gone through here. And we've all had our opportunity one way or another to sort of speak about our feelings on it. Having said that, the season moves on for this team. So Ryan Clark, I'd like to ask you, if you're a leader in that locker room, you got to go out and play a football game this Sunday and you still have a season to play for here. What are you saying?
That's the big thing. The word you use was a leader in the locker room. Greeny, the locker room is a sacred place. The locker room is a place that's only for you. There's not a coach's locker room or a coach that sits next to a player. There isn't a trainer that's next to a player. It's all the players. It's all the dudes who do the exact same thing every single week. All the dudes who've had the exact same dream their entire life. So when I go in there and I'm focused on it, I say, you know what? It's about us. It's about silver. It's about black. It's not about your sexual orientation. It's not about your color. It's not about your background. We are all the exact same. I love you all in the exact same way. And what I'm going to do is put all of my energy, all of my love, all of my effort into one, protecting you from the outside noise, and sometimes even protecting you from coaches that we once had in this building, because we won't speak his name. We won't talk about his words. We won't talk about his hate. What we'll talk about is the fact that they decided to bring us all together to win games, and that's our job. And when we do those things together, when we have one another's back, both on the field, in the locker room, out of the facility, that's when we are the best. And I'll wrap my arm around every single player and say, as we move forward together, us against the world. And that's the way we have to play. That's the effort we have to show. That's the energy we have to move with.
Sacho, you're not only a former player, but a former leader in the Players Association, however that informs this conversation. What's your perspective?
Yeah, I think it's an impossible situation. I really do. And I love what RC's saying because I've been there. I've been in locker rooms with great culture and great leadership and all that kind of stuff. But this is an impossible situation because oftentimes we downplay the effectiveness and the role of leaders. Right? You talk about a leader. Yes, there are leaders on the football team. But they're also leaders in management. They're leaders when it comes to ownership and leaders when it comes to coaching. And I think in this situation, the leadership has been fractured. The team has been fractured. And so it's easy to say, okay, we're going to rally around. We're going to help build this thing. But who's going to lead this ship? Who's going to right this ship? I get it. Derek Carr is a quarterback and a great leader in the locker room. But this is bigger than the locker room, right? Gruden's comments have affected everybody, whether you're black, whether you're white, whether you're gay, whether you're straight, whether you are a woman. He sent a topless picture. It's affected everyone in that building, not just the players on the football field. So when it comes to people who are like chief marketing officers, his comments affected them. When it comes to people who are, like I said, the cheerleaders, his comments have affected them. When it comes to the people on your football team, like the players on your team, his comments have affected them as well. So this is an impossible situation, and we've seen it in the business world, where leaders have failed in the business world, and it's fractured their businesses. We've seen it in the church world, where leaders have failed in the church world, it's fractured their churches. We've seen it in all of society, where leaders have failed, and unfortunately, as sad as it is to say, those failures end up fracturing your team and the people who follow you. And so that's why I believe this is an impossible situation.
Go ahead, Ryan.
But that's why I disagree. Like, this is one time where some dudes hate, some dudes discrimination, some dudes insult, some dudes words affected everybody. See, so many times we have this dissension, right? And we have these divisions because it only affects one person or one group of people, right? When it only affects African-Americans, when we were here talking about George Floyd, you would still get opposition from the other side because they couldn't understand. They couldn't put themselves in that place, right? When we're talking about gay people, when you're talking about the LGBTQ community, sometimes heterosexual people can't put themselves in that place. Now we're all in that place. Right. So I am African-American, but obviously if I'm an African-American player in that locker room, I can wrap my arms around Carl Nassib. I can say, you know what? I can't actually put myself in your place, but I've been there before. I've been discriminated against. I've been insulted. Right. I've heard people use slurs. Right. I've been treated in a certain way that makes me feel like who I am, who I am born as, things I cannot change are reasons to not love me, or reasons why I'm not worthy, or reasons why I'm not enough. But you know what? To me, Carl, you're enough. You know what? To me, whether it's cheerleaders, marketing people, you are enough. And together, we are still in this building. We can't focus on what's happening outside. We can't focus on who is no longer here. So this is something that unites every single person in that building. There's no reason to feel like you was left out because he ran the gambit of hate. So now let's all come together and use whatever energy is produced by that to win football games. And I think you'll see that type of energy from the Las Vegas Raiders this week. And Derek Carr needs to be the catalyst of that.
Yeah, and RC, I hear you because you're coming from a logical standpoint, and that's so accurate. But there's also the emotional standpoint. Like, logically, hey, let's rally together, let's go and let's win this game. But emotionally, you saw Carl Nassib take a day off. I need a day. Like, I play with Carl in Tampa Bay. I need a day. Right, there might be players on the team that say, man, I need a day. How do I process all this stuff? So from a logical standpoint, you are 100% accurate. This is a great opportunity to rally. But people don't always operate from a logical standpoint. Many people operate from an emotional standpoint. And emotionally, people in that building, not outside of the building, people inside the building, people inside the locker room are emotionally hurt, not only by what was said by their coach, but also by what's consistently being revealed as the layers are pulled back. Oh, wow, our ownership believed this about me. Oh, wow, our president believed this about me. Oh, wow, who else believed this in this building about me? And so that's the issue that I would say that is hurting this team, why they I don't think they can recover from it, because logically it makes sense, but emotionally it's hard to overcome.
Again, it is in some ways an unprecedented situation. We'll wait and see. Nick, I get a quick perspective from you.
It's difficult as a player because you have limited time to play the game. It's not like a doctor lawyer where you can play for 30 years and your career is that long. These guys only have 3 to 10 years and your career's over. So I would say in the locker room, playing for each other and playing for your family, right? You have to provide for your family as a man, as a player, and everybody else, the organization. You have careers here that you don't want to just waste time. And I think that this whole situation puts valuable time on the line for a season, which you're not guaranteed 4, 5, 6 year career. It's just not going to happen as a football player. We know the average career is 3 years. So, you know, the locker room, and you can mend those things in the locker room. And I agree with RC. I understand what he's saying, that when you're in the locker room, it's a sacred area. It's a sacred place. And you can have in-depth discussions with people, the guys around in your locker room, and you can really mend things and try to work together, because each individual guy here is trying to provide for his family.
Yeah. And Dan, let me get a quick thought as far as what, if anything, we've heard coming from there as in terms of what they've been trying to do.
There were a lot of conversations there among the players on Tuesday. You know, the thing went down Monday night with him resigning, and discussions about what do we do? Should we take a day off from practice to make a statement? Would that show support for the people affected? Ultimately, they decided, and these are the kinds of conversations I believe that you guys are describing in locker rooms. And it seems like they had those conversations. They decided. You mentioned Carl Nassib took the day off. They were happy to give him that process, whatever he needed to process. But the Raiders came together and practiced, and we'll see how it carries over into the game.
Yeah, I'm glad we're able to have a thoughtful discussion here, and we will see. Again, they play Denver this weekend. The season continues, and we'll see, and we'll be back here Monday breaking all down whatever happened. In the meantime, we will continue here in a moment in a different direction. If you like quarterbacks, boy, do we have the showdown for you this weekend. Who has the edge, Lamar or Justin on Sunday? We're talking about that, and one of our regular favorites here, Sneaky Hembo for Graziano. We'll talk about Lamar Jackson. He's won 34 regular season games. That's tied for the most in NFL history by a quarterback before turning 25. With whom is he tied? Well, that's a great question. The answer's next. Get up on ESPN.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
We are ready to rock and roll.
Guess who's back in the house?
How do you not want to grab a bat and let's start swinging?
Let's slap the biscuit around.
Let's go. Let's do this.
Let me start out by saying,
oh boy.
Pew, pew. I'm the new swagoo. Give it to me, Greeny. Go. Come on.
Bam. Yeah, come here. Come here with the Greeny.
I don't want all this foolishness.
Bam. Boom. Bam.
You're going to be on SportsCenter embarrassed. Da-da-da.
Throw all that crap out the window.
Stay home. Read a book.
You have the right period if you're going to put a period.
If you don't like Lamar Jackson, you don't like sports.
You hate yourself, too, probably.
Hey, you couldn't catch a cold if he was butt-naked on Mount Everest.
Do you think you'd catch a little bit more than a cold if you were butt-naked on Everest?
I'm going to ride with pretty boy Tom Brady. Uh-huh. The man's won 6 Super Bowls. 7 Super Bowls. I forgot.
Well done.
Hell no.
Hell no. Y'all gonna let this dude that don't look like an old lineman no more stop being pancakes on this show.
Hey, it's funny.
Just so much fun every single day here, and we're so delighted you choose to get up with us. But right now the pressure is on Graziano, and I'll add to it. I got this one right. Lamar Jackson has 34 regular season wins in his career, tied for the most by a quarterback before turning 25 years old. With whom is he tied?
I think I know this one because I feel like I saw it at some point on Twitter or something this week. Somebody tweeted about it. So I'm going back a few decades. It's a guy that won an MVP early in his career, that went to a Super Bowl early in his career, but never won one. It's Dan Marino.
I can see Hembo behind you. He could tell immediately you had it right. That is correct. Marino and Lamar with 34 each. Drew Bledsoe won 32 games and Ben Roethlisberger 29 before turning 25. So chalk that one up for Graziano, who once again has the two-point conversion lead over Hembo. But it is still a one-possession game. In the meantime, speaking of Lamar, he's got a fascinating matchup this week against the Chargers, who are, of course, led by their quarterback, Justin Herbert. And speaking of Herbert, the defensive coordinator in Baltimore, Wink Martindale, had a fascinating way to describe him. Listen to this.
I think he's one of those guys who can throw a strawberry through a battleship. You know, I mean, he's got tremendous arm talent, accuracy. He is the prototypical NFL quarterback.
Okay, so go ahead, RC. I'll let you say it because I think we're thinking the same thing. What do you think of that phrase?
Bro, I've never heard that in my life, and I can't stop thinking about it. Bro, y'all know how mad I am when I go to, like, Whole Foods, and then you get the strawberry at the bottom that's been sitting there, and it's all soft and mushy as hell? How in the hell are you going to throw that mushy freaking strawberry through a battleship, man? Bro, just the visual alone from when, listen. Wink Martindale won the week. I don't care what happens in the game. He has won the week. And if Justin Herbert could actually throw a strawberry through a battleship, then we in trouble, y'all. We are seeing the next Messiah at quarterback if that man could do that. I'm sorry. That had nothing to do with football. I just had to get that out about Wink Martindale. Y'all go do the rest of the show.
I like it. I mean, I think that if the guy's going to say he could throw a strawberry through a battleship, we're going to react to it. That said, what this game says to me more than anything else is what a great place the National Football League is in. Because you can't ask for more than having these two extraordinary, this is just an example, two of like 10 unbelievable young quarterbacks right now. Who do you think has a bigger day this weekend, Lamar or Justin Herbert?
Bigger day, that's a great question. I think they both play great because obviously the LA Chargers can't defend the run. But I would pick Justin Herbert based off of who his coach is, right? I'm a huge Brandon Staley fan. I believe in Brandon Staley. He coached me in 2018 when the Bears had the number one defense. He went on to coach LA Rams to the number one defense. I believe in who he is as a man. Now, don't get it twisted. I'm always and will always be on the Lamar Jackson train. Mm-hmm. I believe in him. I think he's probably going to win the MVP this year. But Justin Herbert and Lamar Jackson are both dominant. I just like Justin Herbert just because of who his coach is.
And it's a huge game in so many ways. Both these teams might be surprising to some. The Ravens, because of all the issues they had before the season began. And the Chargers, I don't know that everyone bought in before it began. Who do you like here? Who do we, Chargers, Ravens, how do we see this game?
It's a tough one for me because I've bought in on the Ravens and their ability to overcome so much. I think the Chargers have the better team right now. And I'm going to give them the edge in this game. But, you know, it's Sacho. Look, I don't care if they can't stop the run. I mean, the Ravens are a throwing team now. Haven't you heard? Like the last couple weeks, 300 yards, 400 yards. That's how it goes now.
That's the next step, is to be able to beat you however you force them to play. And they show now, and he has shown that he can do it. RC, what do you think? How about this game, Chargers-Ravens?
I mean, you got to go Chargers, and I agree with Sacho. Both of these guys can have great games. But the thing is, when you look at Lamar Jackson, he's like Allen Iverson. He's out there with Eric Snow and Aaron and McKee and Mutombo and those guys trying to take him to the championship. And out in L.A., we got Kobe Bryant, and he has Shaq, and he has all these other guys. And so I think when you look at this game, Lamar Jackson can have a great game, but the L.A. Chargers have the better team, both defensively and offensively with the skill around Justin Herbert. I'm going with the Chargers.
That's a really good point. I've always said Iverson winning one game in that series to me was an extraordinary accomplishment for them. We'll see what happens in this matchup Sunday in Baltimore. And what a college football Saturday we have before we even get to that. On ABC in the app, it starts at noon Eastern. Number 3, Cincinnati hosting UCF. Then you got number 2, Iowa hosting Purdue. And Saturday night, number 4, Oklahoma taking on TCU. An outstanding weekend of football on the way. And an outstanding edition of First Take is coming up top of the hour. Are the Bucs the best team in football? How far can Lamar take the Ravens? Molly, Stephen A., Tim Tebow, top of the hour on ESPN.
Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
Get Up is brought to you by USAA Insurance. Find out what some of your favorite athletes are like off the field in USAA's Home Base series, now available on ESPN YouTube.
Hey, it's Stephen A. More NHL action is coming your way on ESPN Plus with a battle out west between the Wild and Ducks. Tonight, 10 Eastern, it's the NHL on ESPN Plus.
All season long.
Okay, and before Stephen A. takes over here in a few minutes, we always finish on Fridays with the Monday headlines. We will project what the Monday morning headline will be. Graziano, what do you think?
I think the Chiefs get right with a big victory in Washington. This is a game I'm covering on Sunday. I think it's probably going to be pretty high scoring. These two defenses have let up the most points of any defenses in the league. But I think this is the week we end up talking about Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs looking like themselves.
I like it. Ninko, what's your Monday morning headline?
How about Geno Smith and the Seahawks beat the Pittsburgh Steelers?
Ooh, like
how about that one?
That's
going to be a big one right now. So I think that Geno can do it. I think the Seahawks can get this done. We've seen Pittsburgh struggle, and this is going to be a headline come Monday.
That's a big one there. Yeah, we'll see. Russell Wilson maybe out 4 weeks if Geno can keep the ship afloat there. That's a good one. All right, Acho, give me a Monday morning headline.
Yeah, odds are Vegas is doomed, and here's why. Not only is it your head coach, but it's also your play caller. John Gruden has been calling the plays as well. So culture's gone, play calling's gone. It's not looking good in Las Vegas.
RC, give me a Monday morning headline. What you got?
I'm going to go out on the limb here and say that the Dallas Cowboys will be in the A segment of Get Up on Monday morning with myself, Greeny, Dan Orlowski, and Rex Ryan.
That's a lock. I mean, you could just put that, you could pencil that in every week. That's like a recurring headline. That is very well done. I actually have a headline this week, too. Jets fans rejoice. It's our bye week this week. It's a bye. This is the best week of the season.
Can't lose.
To be a Jet fan, we cannot lose. And not only that, we can't be aggravated. Like, I won't at any moment on Sunday have my wife take my phone away from me for fear of what I might tweet. So I'll actually get to watch the games in peace on Sunday. So we will rejoice. Okay, one more thing before we go. Sam Acho, because he just is this way, opened the show today by mentioning that once in his career he sacked Tom Brady. So let's show it. Come on, let's show it.
Bottom of the screen, I read the play, jumped on him, he dug. Oh. Hey, but I had to go make sure and touch him just in case they said it wasn't a sack.
That's a flag. That's a flag now.
That was before they changed the rules.
Did they think a running back was going to block you? Is that what I'm looking at?
I read the play. They could have called face mask.
He almost dunked you on that one now.
I see the muscles.
That's Tom Brady.
RC, what you think about that, RC?
Hey, that looks nice, man. You lucky they didn't call a flag on you, though, and kick you off the league. You know you can't touch that, man.
Let me live.
Weekend. Enjoy the football. We'll see you Monday. First Take now.